Listening to the passion narrative is so intense. There's just so many things going on and so many people involved. The events leading to the crucifixion of Christ are telling, and the people involved are revealed. Their masks are stripped away. It's hard to hear this gospel, this good news. It sounds like anything but good news. Looking back, this narrative condemns everyone involved, it seems. But only one actually dies. The very one who had done no wrong. No wrong but to challenge the very fabric that held everything in place. No wrong but to question the role of the establishment, the leaders of the faith. No wrong but that. There are 18 people directly involved in this reading. One tells the story as the narrator, and the rest are part of the unfolding events to one degree or another. There are key figures like Jesus and Judas, Peter, and Pilate. And there are other less noticeable participants. Those are noted only as bystander or passerby or wife. They remain unnamed, yet they still have a role in the eventual outcome. In thinking about this earlier this week, I realized that we no longer have passersby, at least not in the way these folks existed in the past. In a world where we are individually transported from place to place in vehicles, we're secluded from each other. In our own vehicles, we're surrounded by glass and metal and never brush up against another person. We never wander onto a scene as it is unfolding. We remain separate, apart. We only engage with each other if we choose to. The closest we come to being passersby is on the internet highway, where we might actually have the occasion to run across something totally unexpected as we travel through the World Wide Web. It's in this venue that we might actually happen upon an event as it is unfolding, and find ourselves in the midst of it. Still, this is just a peripheral intrusion. Even wandering into unknown territory and encountering an unexpected event as it unfolds online is not the same as experiencing it in your person. Events on a screen are always one step removed. They are experienced as one step away from reality, even if the events on the screen are in fact reality as it is unfolding. It's different face to face. Our passersby today came face to face with Jesus in the last hours of his life. There is no telling what they had been doing before they passed by this event. And we know nothing if the experience change their lives. If the experience of this man hanging on a cross had any life-changing effect for them or not. They must have known something about him before they arrived at the scene. They must have either heard of him or been clued in as they walked by. One said, "You'll destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself." The other said, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." They were hecklers of sorts. They had some knowledge of what had been said about Jesus, that he was the Son of God, the Messiah. Some Messiah, they thought. What sort of Messiah would find himself being crucified between two criminals? What an absurd joke. Chiding him seemed in perfectly good order. I wonder if they stayed to the end. if they waited with the others who gathered to see Jesus breathe his last breath. They were right there, passing by as Jesus died. And it seems as though they behaved in the worst possible way. They made fun of this dying man. They heckled this dying God. They missed the point. I wonder if they heard about what happened later. I wonder how they felt once he rose from the dead. I wonder if they knew that he loved them. Love them no matter what. Love them just as they were, guilt-ridden and all. Pilate's wife is another passerby of sorts in this story. She had a dream that continued to haunt her. Her dream told her that this man Jesus was innocent, that he could not be and should not be convicted of any crime. She went to the place where the crowd was gathered. Her husband was in the middle of this fray. She sent a message to him that she had had this troubling dream that this man Jesus was innocent. She told him to have nothing to do with him, but Pilate didn't listen. The crowd had become energized to a near frenzy. Nothing was making sense. They wanted a criminal released instead of this man who she knew was innocent, but it was too risky. Her husband's career might be ruined if she pushed this. Her life would be in shambles. The crowd might turn on her too. Best to go home. Best not to push it too far. She had said what she came to say. Her conscience was clean. Had she been a male, she might have gone down in history with the same damaged reputation as her husband, Pontius Pilate. As it stands, she remains the unnamed wife. One who could have acted. One who could have taken a stand. One who chose the path of ease and missed life in Christ. Peter too denied him. One of his own core group. The one who had proclaimed him Messiah. The one on whom Jesus had laid the foundation of the church. Peter denied him. Said he didn't know him, wasn't with him, never met him. And when he realized what he had done, his soul was as pierced as the soul of Mary as she watched her son dying on the cross. This reading is hard. It is intense. We are brought into the last events of Jesus' life, and at the same time, we are invited to walk with him again on this journey through Holy Week that leads to a cross. Can we stay with him these last few days? Can we walk this walk that leads to death of life as we know it and enter into new life with Christ? Life that is transformed and new. I invite you to walk with him, to be transformed. Not to be a bystander or a passerby, a denier or a shrinking violet, but to go through this journey with Christ and be transformed. Amen.